Good morning. I know my talk's a bit of a change of pace from some of the others, and we're right before lunch, so I appreciate you sticking around. Just a little background here. The anal HPV prevalence in men who have sex with men is quite high. Among HIV negatives, somewhere between 50 and 60%, and among HIV positives, we're looking at, you know, mid to upper 90%. Risk factors for infection are being HIV positive, having a history of receptive anal intercourse, and the number of sex partners. But by and large in the literature, demographic factors have not really been shown to be too strongly associated. And why we care about this is anal HPV infection has been associated with anal intraepithelial neoplasias, which, if left untreated, can potentially go on to develop anal cancer. The prevalence of these AINs and MSM is also relatively high, 18 to 23%, and 5 to 10% of those being AIN 2 or 3, which are the high grade, more risk for cancer. And one recent study actually documented greater than 50% prevalence of these high grade AINs among HIV positive MSM. One thing that I think is interesting to note is that retroviral therapy doesn't really seem to decrease the rates of anal cancer. We're seeing that the rates post antiretrovirals are actually higher than pre-retroviral therapy. And a very recent study just showed that the duration that somebody has been on therapy was not associated with a reduction in risk. So the objective of this study was to identify relationships between demographic, substance use, and anal HPV infections. We wanted to look at the role of drug use in transmission, and we had this idea that a better understanding of which demographics were associated could help us figure out which groups were most important to look at for monitoring or screening. The study we used was the Los Angeles site of NIDA's Sexual Acquisition and Transmission of HIV Cooperative Agreement, or SAFCAP for short. It was a respondent-driven sample, and we're using the first two waves of their data collection. In wave one, participants were given 7 coupons and asked to recruit MSM, drug users, sex partners, or a female partner of an MSM, or a non-drug-using partner of a drug user. And in wave two, they were given 4 coupons and asked to recruit MSM, drug users, and female sex partners. For this analysis in particular, the inclusion criteria were participating in wave one or two of data collection, which ran from 2005 to 2007. You had to be a male who reported a male partner in the past 6 months. They could also have reported female partners, but they had to report at least one male partner, and provide a rectal swab for HPV testing. One thing to note is that the HPV testing was only a small subset of the overall study, so all men with a history of AI were tested in wave one, but in wave two, we're only talking the first couple hundred people, so most of our samples coming from wave one. Audio computer-assisted self-interview was used to measure demographic factors and sexual and drug use behaviors with anywhere from 0 to 3 of their most recent sexual partners. HPV was tested for using an internal anal swab, and PCR was used for detection. HIV was tested for using the oral rapid test, and we did a confirmatory Western blot for people who tested positive. And recent drug use was tested for using a urine sample, and we looked at marijuana, methamphetamine, cocaine, and opiates. The main outcome we wanted to look at was anal HPV infection, and we broke it down into 3 different groups and kind of ran 3 parallel analyses throughout the whole thing. We looked at any anal infection, we looked at infection with a high-risk subtype, and then we looked at infection with more than one high-risk subtypes. The main statistical test we used was logistic regression, with the caveat that we felt that it was important to include URAI as a confounding variable. The problem was that URAI was measured at the partnership level, and any one participant in the study could report up to 3. We had 3 measurements of URAI for them, and HPV was measured at the participant level, and we only had 1 measurement. And traditional repeat measure models don't fit that type of data. So what we had to do is we ran a generalized linear random intercept model to predict URAI, and then we pulled the fitted values from that and kind of had this pseudo predicted probability of having URAI. So it's less than ideal, but the best we could do with what we had. So we looked at our HPV prevalence in the sample, and we saw a very big difference between MSM and men who had sex with men and women in the past 6 months. About 85% for MSM for any infection, and 45% for MSMW. And for high-risk HPV, 53% compared to 19%. And for multiple high-risk HPV infections, 20% compared to 5%. The demographics of the sample, the mean age was 41.2 years, the range was 18 to 76. African American was the largest racial ethnic group with about 47%, followed by Hispanics at 24% and whites at 21%. The average income of the sample was quite low, with 17% earning less than $1,000 in the past 30 days, and 40% of the sample was HIV positive. So the first thing we looked at univariately was drug use, and we found that self-reported meth use in the past 30 days was associated with all three of our HPV outcomes. Our lab test for meth use was associated with HPV and high-risk HPV, and we also saw significant associations with marijuana and a couple of our HPV outcomes, but I think it's important there to keep in mind that the meth use and marijuana were very highly correlated. Pretty much all of our meth users were also using marijuana, so we have to take that associations with a grain of salt. And we didn't really see much for cocaine or opiate use. So then we broke down and looked at HPV by our HIV status. And as expected, we saw a very big difference between positives and negatives. 92% of those who are HIV positive had an infection compared to 48% of the negatives. And for high-risk HPV, 64% compared to 18%, and 29% compared to 3% for multiple high-risk HPV infections. So then, in our logistic regression, we put them all into the same model, and this is predicting HPV, any HPV infection. And what we saw is that we had all these nice associations univariately between demographics and meth use. None of them came out as significant predictors in the model. But what did come out was, coming from wave two of the sample, being HIV positive, our predicted probability of URAI all had a higher odds of infection, and MSMW compared to MSM had a lower odds of infection. When we take a look at high-risk HPV, basically we see the same thing, although this time even our URAI variable is no longer significant. But once again, what we see is coming from wave two of the sample and being HIV positive had a higher odds, and MSMW had a lower odds of infection. When we take a look at multiple high-risk HPV infections, we see even less. Once again, we see that being HIV positive had a higher odds of infection. We do see a just right on kind of marginal association with being married or cohabitating had a higher odds of infection relative to being single. And we see that African Americans had a lower odds relative to white. So our first thought was, well, we know HIV is just an incredibly strong predictor. So maybe the reason we didn't see any of these things in multivariate models was because it was so correlated with HPV. So we reran all the regressions among HIV negatives, and we saw pretty much the same thing. For high-risk HPV, we see a non-significant marginal associations with Hispanics having a lower odds than whites, and for multiple high-risk HPV, we did see a significant association with Hispanics having a lower odds than whites. So some of the strengths and limitations are kind of the same thing in this study. We used a community non-clinic-based sample, which we hoped and we thought would help us get a better idea of what was going on in the general LA, MSM, and MSMW population. The problem was we used this respondent-driven sampling design that appears to have captured a sample of very low SES, MSM, and MSMW that had very little variation in risk. So what we've kind of concluded from this is we saw a very high prevalence of our HPV outcomes in the sample, and this was especially true among MSM and HIV positives, but demographic factors were not, or when they were very weakly associated in multivariate models. Drug use was not associated at all in multivariate models, and being the two things that were most consistent was that being HIV positive had a higher odds, and being having sex with male and female partners had a lower odds relative to MSM. The implications for this, the first is something that I think a lot of people are saying, and this is really a confirmation of that, and that's that the high prevalence in the sample indicates that monitoring for either anal HPV infection or the associated neoplasias is very important among MSM, and especially those that are HIV positive. That demographics and drug use factors simply might not be relevant when we're talking about HPV transmission in high-risk MSM and MSMW populations, and therefore is of very little utility figuring out who we should be most concerned about within that group. However, using an RDS design might produce a homogeneous sample that really lacks the variability needed to detect some of these associations, and that future studies should really focus on trying to go out and get a community-based sample, but a more diverse one. So thank you so much, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Yeah?
I'm just curious, you said they used RDS as your data. Mm-hmm.
Right. We didn't, and way back when, there's a little bit of institutional knowledge here that predates me. The decision with this data set has long ago been made to not use the traditional RDS methodology, and the idea behind that was, I think as they were collecting the samples, they realized very quickly that they were capturing a very specific group of people. And we made some attempts where we tried to change the recruitment, changed how we got seeds, the number of coupons, and some of the different ways you saw they changed between wave one and two. And I think they kind of decided that it was kind of a futile effort, and let's just go with the sample we've got and treat it as a convenient sample of low SES, MSM, and MSMW. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of RDS by design, but ultimately, analysis-wise, it's pretty much the same as a convenient sample.
Question.
Yeah? For enrolling in the study, people were given $50 for their visit and then $20 for every participant who came in under them or with one of their coupons. And that really, I think, is largely responsible for this. If you are going to get $20 for every person that comes into your study, you're not going to be distributing those coupons randomly. You're going to give them to people who you think are most likely to come in, who are most likely like you, who originally were recruited, which was poor and in more need of money.
I have a question. Are you planning a wave three? And if so, what will be different?
So wave three has actually already been completed. The biggest difference was with the coupon recruitment. Mm-hmm. And what they did there is they actually removed all of the sexual coupons. And they only looked at drug users mm-hmm. to see if they captured a different sample. And the answer is yes, but no. We do have a slightly younger sample and slightly different in demographics, but ultimately it fell to the same group. It just took a little bit longer to do so.
Okay. More questions? If not, thank you all for attending the session and for staying till the end. Thank you. Nice job.